Blog Talk Radio.
He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen him do
it. I have no doubts my God can do the impossible.
I know he can.
I know he can.
I've seen him do it.
I've seen him do it.
He can turn the mess you're in. He can turn it into an awesome miracle. I've seen him do whatever problem you've got. Let it go. Just give it to God. He'll work it out. How do I know? How do I know what God can do? I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it.
I've seen him do it.
I've seen him do it.
I've seen him
do it. I've lived long enough to see God do phenomenal things. So I wrote this verse to encourage you when your back is against the wall. Just know that God will come through for you. Listen,
with your life has gone to great, you preserve and cover you with his grace.
That's how God
works. I've seen him do it.
And he'll erase your past.
He'll erase your past.
If you repent,
people can't have a danger in your face. That's how God works.
seen him do it time and time.
She went to the hospital and had a surgery, and they told her she'd have that radical chemotherapy to get healed. Oh, but we started to pray, and she never had chemo, never had radiation, and 7 years later, she's still cancer-free. You can't tell me what God can do.
I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it. Even in tough times, he can do it. He will make a way.
He's good. He loves you so much. Come on.
I've seen him do it. Seen him do it. And I want you to know, I know he can do it. He can do it. He can do it. I watched him do it. All I can tell you is he's better than better. And you gotta get with that. You got to get with the fact that he's better than better. Understanding that God is better than anything you can imagine. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We serve each and every one of you, those that would like to participate in this, ask you to press 1 and we'll let you in. Like I said, this is a review, and it's our review. It's not my review, our review. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Now, Pastor Bill, I ask you to get us started with a word of prayer. That's a blessing. Is she available? Hallelujah. Okay. Are you available to pray, Pastor?
I'm available to pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen, amen. Thank God. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share will be coming from Hebrews, the 8th chapter, and verses, I think I want the 6th verse. Amen. Let me get that there. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Reading from the King James. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much more also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. We're thanking you, Father God, for each and every one that is listening today, those that called in, those listening by internet. We thank you for our pastor as he teaches the word, Father God, even though we know this is our review. But Lord, we give you praise, Father God. Your word is powerful. Your word is faithful. Your word is true, Father God. And so, Lord, we bind up anything and everything to try to come up against our pastor, against the listeners and those that participate, those that are listening by internet. Lord, we give you praise. We want to say thank you for all of your many blessings. And Father God, we praying for those who are sick and shut in. We're praying for those who are bereaved, Father God. Praying for those that are going through, Father God. So, Lord, help us to stay in the Word of God and open up our hearts to receive the teachings of the Word of God. And then let us meditate on that Word, Father God. Continue to use our pastor mightily as he's led by the Holy Spirit to teach and also minister to us, Father God. And, Lord, we bind up anything that may try to come up against him, Father God, as he continue in the word of God. Lord, help us all to grow. Help us all to meditate. And help us all to know this is new, the new covenant that we are in, Father God. And the word God says is better and is built upon better promises. So let us meditate on that. Let us receive that, Father God. And Lord, we give you praise for all things, Lord. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Pastor, for that prayer. Anyone have any comments on this week's lesson? Going to just open up the studio. I want to make a couple. I had a couple of notes I want to share. Thank God for on Wednesday, Evangelist Renee did give us a healthy sandwich. So I thank God for that. She had been having mm-hmm. some trouble with her phone, but God bless her for that. Pastor also gave us a report on Pastor Dortch this week, and happened to know his family is doing better, and happy to know that Pastor to be supportive of the family, and she attended the celebration. I believe that was on Tuesday. Is that right, Pastor? It was on Tuesday.
And, yes, it was.
She was able to give us a update on things, and we thank also, Pastor, for the outstanding job she helped me with on Friday. I was having some issues. Okay, one other thing I want to make mention. Listen, brother and sister, I had shared this. Anyway. The Lord put this in my spirit. When you're understanding the Bible, there are stages of the Bible that you have to fully understand if you're going to understand the Bible, or there is this concept that you have to have. And it starts with the Old Testament, which means just pretty much what it says, it's old stuff. So when you look at the Old Testament, think that's old stuff. When people talk about the Old Testament, it's old stuff. Just please, somewhere in your mind, you got a sticker somewhere. Remember, when people talk about the Old Testament, they're talking about old stuff, pretty much. I know it tells the future, but yet it's old stuff because it teaches about Christ coming, Christ and King.
Yeah.
So it's old stuff.
Amen.
Then, secondly, you have to understand that the between Matthew's, Mark, Luke, and John, that is the fulfillment of the old stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because Christ came to fulfill the things of the prophets. Mm-hmm. So he got to steal the Old Testament so he could finally close that door, lock it, and move on. So when you read the Bible, there's the Old Testament, and there's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Boom, you have the New Testament, which is the acts of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people call it the acts of the apostle, but really it's the acts of the Holy Spirit. And Christ said the four apostles were living the acts of the Holy Spirit, and that propel us into the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. But with that basic understanding, and that maybe that's what I was just calling, basic understanding of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the book of Revelation, because we're actually living it. It's nothing to be afraid of. Matter of fact, it's a blessing. Even when you read the book of Revelation, you get three blessings. So when you understand the Bible, I'm going to go over it one more time because I don't know, you might want to make notes of this. The Old Testament, I mean, just what it says, is old stuff. That's from Genesis to Malachi. From Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which actually is the fulfilling of the Old Testament. So sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you'll find out that what was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the fulfillment of what was promised, that Christ would come. So it's old stuff because he's came. And this is very important. When you study the Word of God, you study it like that's how the Holy Spirit going to teach you, because the Holy Ghost or the acts of the Holy Spirit, which later they named it the acts of the apostle, because they had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. So you want to know the original word for it was Holy Ghost. But
all right,
in the way Ghost, for some reason it did something to him. So I'm gonna go over it one more time. If you're gonna understand the Bible, the basic teaching of the Bible, here it is on the outline. You got the Old Testament from Genesis to Matthew. From Matthew, the end of it is Malachi. The new start with Matthew's and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the new is from the Acts of the Apostle, the Holy Spirit. It's from the book of Acts going forward to Revelation. So if you want to understand it in four parts, you could. If you want to understand it in three parts, you could. It's the same thing. And some folks will try to debate, but you don't have to debate. Yes, Matthew's starts the New Testament. And you'll see Christ being born in the New Testament. That's all the Old Testament. So when you read the Word of God, remember, from Genesis to Malachi, that's the Old Testament. Then you got the fulfillment of the testament, and then you get the acts of the Holy Spirit. I felt like those was important things we talked about. Now, one of our foundational scriptures, we'll probably just go over some of these foundational scriptures, because this will not be the end of this subject. Christ is better. Christ is better. And so make notes now, because as we study this about Christ is better, it starts off really by saying in the New Testament, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's better already. If you can see that, that's better already. But our foundational scripture, that's if you be in Christ, it's better. In the book of Hebrews 1:4, let's see here. We'll read that one. experience. I had it. Yeah, excuse me. I'll just read it. King James. Being made so much better than the angels as he had by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
Amen. From the Message Bible. Hebrews 1 and verse 4. After he finished the sacrifice for sins, the Son took his honored place high in the heavens right alongside God, far higher than any angel in rank and rule. Did God? Okay, that's it. Let me read that again. The Son took his honored place high in the heavens, right alongside God, far higher than any angel in rank and rule. Amen.
Okay, so did you get a better understanding of why this subject is called Christ is better? Because he is an angel. He's better than prophets. He's better than your parents, even. He's better. He can give you a birth your parents couldn't give you. The birth your parents gave you would not allow you to have eternal life. But the birth you get through Christ is eternal life. It's forever. That's so much better. You better ought to be born again than to accept with your mama and daddy. Forget that. It's about being born again. So you can become part of it so much better. But understand the word better, which means that, you know, a higher grade. That's probably a good word. It's a higher grade. It's like, it's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It's fabulous, yeah. If you will. You know, it's like first class. When you're on an airplane, you know, you got maybe three sections of the plane, whatever. Sometimes you got two sections. But trust and believe, first class is better than them other class.
Yes,
it's grand. It's great. The food are better in first class.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's... You said, how was your flight? It was outstanding, meaning it was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means it's better, superior. Now, I'm telling you all this stuff because as we get into reading and studying this word about Christ is better, like, for instance, I'm on, like I said, if anybody have, you have to press one, because I shut it down for no reason. So you have to press one if you want to have in the comments. We talked about the Old Testament passages and the New Testament and how much better the Old Testament than the New Testament. What Christ brought into the New Testament. So it's so much better. But here's a point I want to make last week. The name itself, he inherits a superior. Why? Because he is called the Son of God. Now, don't take that lightly. Understand what that means. When he be called the firstborn, his name is great. The name that he was given was greater than angels. Now, to say that, what do you have to back that? Well, if you ever did any studies on angels were considered a messenger from God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, angel was a straight messenger. So a lot of people in the Old Testament believe that. False teachers many of the early churches taught that God could be approached only through angels. That's what they taught. Instead of worshiping God directly, talk to people. He reveals himself through angels. So Hebrews clearly explained the teaching as false for the simple fact that Jesus is as the highest angel of God. So that put the angels less than Jesus because Jesus is not superior, a superior angel, but the Bible teaches us that we're not even to worship angels.
Amen.
Colossians 2 and 18. I'm going to ask Pastor to read all these out the King James, and we're going to move on. But there's a couple of scriptures I want to be supportive. In Colossians 2 and 18, can you read that, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. From the King James, Colossians 2 and verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which we have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Amen.
Yeah. Well, so you have a lot of people want to teach people to worship angels, and they've seen the angels, and angels did this, and angels did. But Christ is better than all of that, okay? Get in Christ. Because Jesus is God's, well, not only is he his only begotten, but he's firstborn. Well, why is that important? Because the firstborn son in the Jewish family, that's why God taught us through the Jewish family how he operates. But in the Jewish family, the firstborn son held the place of the highest privilege and responsibility. The Jewish Christian readers, they understand this because they understood Judaism. They understood that the firstborn, which was Jesus, was superior to any sons that's after him. And remember, Jesus was there before the foundation of the world. And we quoted 102:25. But anyway, he is so much better. Therefore, we have a better covenant. We have a, he's better, a better priest. We have a better righteousness. When you think about it, when you think about the Old Testament, New Testament, with the same understanding I gave you a moment ago, see, the Old Testament and the fulfillment of the New Testament, it demands righteousness. It demands obedience. Well, with the New Testament, God gave us righteousness. He gave it to us. I don't know why that when I think about stuff God gave us, stop and think about what God gave us, and we didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to do nothing. He gave it to us. Well, it starts out with his son. For God so loved the world, he gave. How many people understand God like that? God is a giver.
Yes,
if you don't have that spirit, you want to check your credentials. If you're not a real giver and you always demanding payback, you always demanding that somebody do for you and you never do for anybody, you want to check your credentials.
Amen.
Because becoming a Christian is one of the things you do. You give. You
That's
giving
right.
of yourself first, you die. And then you say, okay, you know what? I'm giving it all to God. You learn to give. And it has nothing to do with finances, brothers and sisters. Because remember now, a lot of times, because people, they want to play on this, but I'm telling you, it had nothing to do with finances. There are so many other things more than finances, greater than finances. But anyway, I get too far carried away. On the review this week, one of the highlights that I thought was Hebrews 7:22. And Pastor had read that out the Messenger Bible, and I thought that was awesome. So let's look at Hebrews 7:22 out of the Messenger Bible. Now, for those that may not be familiar with it, I can quote it at King James, but I'd rather her just read it out of the Messenger Bible. Then you turn around and read it out of King James and see how much sense it makes. Mm-hmm. So, Pastor, if you read it out of the King James, I'd appreciate it.
All right. Amen. So, Hebrews 7:22. From the King James, and then from the Message Bible, then I'll go back and read it from the King James.
Correct.
So from the Message Bible, it says, "This makes Jesus the guarantee of a far better way between us and God, one that really works, a new covenant." And then from the King James, it reads, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament." Amen.
Amen.
So it says, "By so much Jesus was made a surety of a better testament." Amen.
It's guaranteed to work.
Amen.
It really works. You know, sometimes you understand this word, really. Really. Mm-hmm. It really works.
Yeah.
Simply saying, well, the Old Testament, well, you know, kind of, sort of, but this one really works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
It needs to work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all ever experienced anything that wouldn't kind of work, and you tried, it wouldn't work, and finally you found something that really works, man. It really works. It really does what it say it do. Well, that's the emphasis it's being put on this.
Yes. Amen.
That it really works.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed to work. Or your money back. I like to think about it like that. It's guaranteed to work or your money back.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, it's guaranteed to be everything it's advertised to be or your money back. Guaranteed, man. Don't get any better than that. So that was one thing we talked about that I wanted to highlight. Another thing that we talked about this week I'd like to highlight was Hebrews 8:6.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to understand it from the Messenger Bible as well.
Okay. Hebrews 8:6. Okay. So from the Message Bible. Okay. "But Jesus' priestly work far surpasses what these other priests do, since he's working from a far better plan. If the first plan, the old covenant, had worked out, a second wouldn't have been needed." Amen. So from the King James, it says, "But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen.
Yeah. It surpassed. It was superior to all the priests. Matter of fact, the Bible says if Christ had been a priest on the earth, he wouldn't have made it. Can you imagine?
All right.
Yeah. He wouldn't have been able to do his work here because he is a spiritual number one. And he worked from a far better place. He's working from eternity. So that, you know, he could do what he had to do here on earth as a priestly priest. I want to take my time to make sure everybody understands it. Like, his ministry wouldn't have worked here because it's so much superior over what we had to offer. When you understand the priest's role was to take blood, I think that's according to Hebrews 9 and 13. Pastor, read that in a moment. But according to Hebrews 9, see, the blood of a bull or goat or whatever, Christ's blood is so much better. It's so much precious. It's better. It's superior. So you see, he wouldn't have been able to use it. And when you think about the priesthood, they had to go every year. First, they had to take 7 weeks themselves right. Then they was supposed to offer blood. See, Christ didn't have to do any of that stuff. He operated from a better place altogether.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That's why he had a better name. He has a better ministry. That's what I keep telling people by Hebrews 8, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
His tabernacle that was built not by hand, but by God. His sanctuary. Far better to operate in that. Like today, brothers and sisters, we need to operate in Christ's ministry.
Yeah.
It's a better one. He's the mediator of a better ministry.
Amen.
Yeah. Which happened to be established on better promises. You got to know better is good. Can I say
that's
that
right.
One more time? I say better is better than good. Some people accept good. No, it's something better than good. It's good to have a salvation, but it's better to have an eternal salvation. Better.
Yeah.
See, Adam couldn't see that better. All he saw that it was good, so that pleasing to the eyes, it was good. And so he ate, because it was good. And we've been taught that good means good. But I want you to rethink this. Better means better than good. Now you make a decision which one you want. You want better or you want good? See, because what God was offering Adam in the garden was far better. It was eternal life. Don't eat them trees. I know it's good, it's pleasing to the eye. I get all of that. I get that. It's good, Adam. But don't eat it because it's good.
Amen.
I got something to guarantee you're going to have eternal life. That's what I'm telling everybody. Grab a hold. You know, let me tell you what. The blood of bulls, let you go on to read that. Hebrews 9.
Okay, Pastor. Hebrews 9 and verse 13 from the Message Bible. He also bypassed the sacrifices consisting of goat and calf blood, instead using his own blood as the price to set us free once and for all. Amen. And so from the King James, it says, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's... Oh, wait a minute. It seems like I left something out here. Let me back up. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think of how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for sin. Amen.
You see that? It's better. It became a perfect sacrifice. So when you say better, you're talking about perfect. You're talking about excellence. It's better. When you think about Cain and Abel, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain.
Amen. Say that.
I don't know what part of the chicken you like. Unless you're Jamaica, you like meat. But in America, a thigh is better than the chicken feet. A leg is better than the chicken feet.
Amen.
Jamaicans there. So if I have any Jamaicans listening, I don't apologize. I'm just trying to give an illustration here. In America, we think of breasts. It's better, especially when you think about wings. Wings are so much better than the feet.
All right. Amen.
A lot of Jamaicans, they take the feet and make a soup out of it.
Yeah.
And they'll swear by it, but you can't beat a feet. But we who have, well, let me say this, brothers and sisters. We've been there as far as feet. We knew that's all we could get for feet. But when we got...
That's right.
Exalted, thank God, for equal rights and equal pay. We didn't buy them with chicken feet. We start buying chicken thighs and chicken legs and chicken breasts. And now everybody buy chicken wings because it's better. In my mind, I guess it's better for you too.
All right. Amen.
I just want everybody to understand it's so much better. And that's the same thing here in the Bible. Christ's blood is so much better than goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer. It's better.
Yes, amen.
Because his sacrifice is unblemished. And the Jews understood that. They knew every 50th year, at the 50th day in the 50th month, there was going to be an unblemished lamb. They knew, they understood that. They had that teaching. They had been groomed for that. They understood.
That's right.
So it was no problem when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who come to take away the sin of the world. Well, they knew, they understood that. What messed them up was they didn't know it had two feet.
That's right.
That's
amen.
Like today, if a person can't see it or feel it or touch it, it's a problem. It's a problem. Because the word is
right. Say it. See? Say it.
So they understand the blood of Christ is right there glowing at the throne of Christ on his throne. They don't get it. They don't get it. Because they don't see it. They can't feel it. It's just like a lot of people. They can't forgive forgiveness. But if you take John 1 and 9, it says, 1 John 1 and 9, it says, that's if you messed up, you did something. He said, he is faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. We have eternal forgiveness. Do that means you do things? No. But if Satan try to use that against you, you got unforgiveness. Because if you ask, you're going to be forgiven. God can't lie. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So Paul said, do God? No, God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy can't have the advantage over you any longer.
Amen. Praise God.
Because you do have access to the blood of Christ. One other I noted from this week was Galatians 3:13. And meanwhile, anybody have any questions about anything being said today on the review, please do not hesitate. Comments. We welcome all comments. Good, bad, or ugly, right or wrong, we still welcome them. Because this is one place. See, this is a meat house here. Let me be clear. This is not where you get no water. So this is not your ordinary Bible study. There's no watered down version of anything. So I get milk. You don't get that here.
Mm-hmm.
You get
all
meat.
Right.
Milk is designed for babes. You're going to get some meat up in here. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it. So if you come with watered down stuff that may be milk, expect to get meat now because we want you to grow. And that's how you grow. If you get milk all your life, you're going to be a gidget. But anyway, reread that for me, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor. And Pastor, before I go to Galatians 3, let me read that again. I read that last scripture out of the New Living Translation instead of the King James. So, and it just backs up what you're saying. It says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifice to purify of the flesh. So that was the King James. So forgive me. My Bibles are side by side, and so I had
No worries. Thank you. Thank you for correcting.
Super.
No worries.
You're welcome, Pastor. So that was Galatians 3:13. You said 3:15, Pastor?
13.
13. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So now I'll read that from the King James, and I'll go to the Message Bible. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Amen. From the Message Bible. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now, because of that, the air is clear and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. Amen.
See, that's why trusting in the Word or having faith in the New Testament or the book of Acts and beyond, why this is so important.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't operating in faith before then. They operated in the law. That's how they operated. So faith is different from from the law, which says that you have to obey every word, every bit of the law. Now, I take you to the book of James and show you, if you messed up on one law, you messed up on all. That's why being in Christ is so much better. You see, the law could not rescue you. The law could not get you out of the situation. No, it didn't have room for that. The law did. There was a consequences with the law. But being in Christ is so much better. There's more grace for grace. There's more. I just want you to see it more. I like to use that word more.
Mm-hmm.
It's more. It's better. That's the only way we could receive that promise was through faith. So when you understand that the anyone hung on the cross, I mean, that was considered a curse.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, Christ paid the price. Listen, brother and sister, when he said Christ redeemed, that meant he paid. He paid.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to figure out other ways that it means. It doesn't mean anything else other than he paid.
Amen.
If you didn't pay the bill, you still owe it. That's
mm-hmm.
how I check. You still owe it.
Yeah.
When you don't pay your mortgage, you still owe the bill. When you don't
pay your
condo, you still owe it. That's what.
That's,
but if pastor mm-hmm. paid your condo, that meant it's paid. If she paid it or redeemed it, she paid it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I guess I pray to God the Holy Ghost gave me that correctly.
That's
Christ,
right.
He paid the price to get us free. That's what
right.
it costs to get free. Boom. Here you go. That's the doctrine people should be teaching. It's paid
mm-hmm.
for. Not if you do this and you do that and you do this and this is going to happen. No, forget that garbage. Sin is paid for. And don't make me go there. I wasn't going to preach today, but y'all about to make me feel like I need to preach a little bit. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said, Christ became your sin so you could accept his righteousness. So don't let his being on the cross in vain. Don't let it. See, people teaching that dumb stuff. Teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but they want to put a but on it. No. Christ has redeemed us. Woo! I like the way Paul put that. He said us.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. See?
That's right. Say it again.
Yours. And you need to say that to yourself. It's been paid. I'm paid. I'm free now. I can get out of jail. I tell you what, you talk to somebody in prison, they know what redeemed mean.
Mm-hmm.
They praying all the time, I wish you redeemed me from this place.
Mm-hmm.
Law, it couldn't be the only way the law could be satisfied is somebody had to hang on a tree, and that satisfied the law. That meant it was paid. So that's why Christ went to the cross.
Amen.
Without going to the cross, I know I'm going to get some feedback, but without Christ going to the cross, there is no way sin could have been.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So everything Abraham did would have been for naught. The promise could not be fulfilled because there was anyway. Even though it was 430 years before the law, you could not grandfather it in because the law said. So his seed couldn't. Now, Abraham would have went on because he lived in the faith. And that was before the law came. So Abraham was good. But the rest of us was doomed. Everybody that did not live by faith, and everybody that was born under the law, you were doomed. And it didn't matter if you was living by faith. Didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had to be, the law had to be eradicated. The law had to be satisfied. And so Christ did it, man. I want y'all to see what's a big, this is a big deal. This ain't nothing. Because the scripture said it. See, if the scripture hadn't said it, then you could kind of, no, but the scripture said that this is what you had to happen. Somebody had to hang on a tree. That's good, man. Matter of fact, it's probably better than good. Stand. What that's really saying. Okay, anybody else wanna you wanna press one? Cause I had shut down everything. Press one if you want in and get some of this here. Okay, Pastor, you have any comments?
Amen. I just wanted to read 2 Corinthians 5:21 from the King James, and also from the New Living Translation, it says, "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so from the New Living Translation, it says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Amen. So I'm glad and I'm thankful that Christ did make the sacrifice for us so that we could be made right with him. Amen.
Yeah. See, let me tell you this, brothers and sisters. Christ is much better. I could get in a lot of things right now, but I don't want to. I just want you to understand this before I close. And that is, you have a better sacrifice. Because the other sacrifice couldn't get you out of the situation. Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. If you understand anything today, understand that there's a ministry out here. Several of them out here. And you want to be part of Christ's ministry, okay? That's what you want. Because it's so much better. So next week, we're going to Hebrews 1 as our foundational scripture going next week on, because we have so much to talk about being better. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't apologize for telling people that Christ is so, ministry is so much better than Creflo's ministry, than Ben Hain or Ben Hans, whatever his name is, any of them ministries, including your boy, I know all y'all thinking him, a lot of people think, not everybody, a lot of people think he has a great ministry. He probably do. But in comparison to Christ's ministry, it's nothing. It's zero. Because his ministry won't give you nothing. It can lead you to Christ if you listen to and get your Bible and listen to the Holy Ghost. But I'm gonna have her to read Hebrews 8 and 1 and 2 before we close.
Okay. From the King James, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man." Mm. Wow. You know, let that sink in for a minute. Amen. So bring the Message Bible. It reads verses 1 and 2. In essence, we have such a high priest, authoritative right alongside God, conducting worship in the one true sanctuary built by God. Amen, amen.
I mean,
thank you,
that's
Lord.
Plain. That's plain to me. That's real plain. There is a minister in the heavenly sanctuary. Let me put it to everybody to understand. He having church.
Mm-hmm.
And he preaching, and he having church, and it's a good message, and he's saying, hey, come here and be part of this church service. But people don't want to come. They want to come. Mm-hmm. That's why his ministry is so much better. And I'm going to tell you, when I tell you that there's all kinds of false prophets, brothers and sisters, you don't have to take my word for it. Some of these preachers is about money.
Yeah, that's right. Say that.
False preachers, false prophets. False. They false.
Mm-hmm.
And people, they don't want to hear it. They're trying to hear it. But I tell you, it looked like they're not false, but they are. They're about false as old Trump. Trump is false, too. I tell y'all that too. I ain't gonna sleep on him. He's a false prophet.
Yes, he is.
He's not the Antichrist, because he don't care nothing about no Christ. But I'm talking about these false prophets, false preachers, false. They false. Mm-hmm. And until you understand that the T.D. Jakes of the world, they're going to continue to the Creflo Dollars of the world, they're going to continue to teach a Paula White of the world. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm just trying to tell you, and we'll just get into it next week. But I'm going to tell you, he's so much, his ministry is so much better. Because
yes,
there's so many false teachers out here. And until you really do your research, man, I had one woman argue me up and down. Well, honey, I can't because you ain't did your research. Do your research if you want truth. Everybody don't want truth, too. That's another truth. Because some folks trying to hold on to their tradition. But anyway, anybody else before we dismiss? Press one. Hallelujah.
Amen. Pastor, I like to read that. I like to read that also from God's Word, Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. The main point we want to make is this. We do have this kind of chief priest. This chief priest holds the honored position, the one next to the majesty God the Father on the heavenly throne. He serves as priest of the holy place and of the true tent set by the Lord and not by any human. Amen. Amen.
See, people who want to teach, now I'm going to go on there. I'm going to go on there because I don't mind calling them out. I call them all out. It don't bother me to call out these false preachers and false prophets. I'll do it in a heartbeat. And all of them. And I don't leave out none of them. Even Copeland, you know, you're going to teach people the gear, but then you got five, six planes. I can get Benny Hinn, Joyce Myers. I mean, I can call them out now. Even Joseph Prince, who I don't even want to go there. Because first thing, I'm carnal mind, the person say, oh, you jealous. I ain't jealous. If I want to be a false prophet, I could do that. Why I want to be that for?
Mm-hmm. All right.
I want people to get the pure truth. not from these false teachers. Because it's amazing, man, how many false teachers is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out there to make money.
That's right.
You know, some of them got the biggest congregation in the world, but it's all about a dollar. They're not teaching you how to have your eternal life. And you can sit around here and say, oh, they just need to be exposed. But see, I don't waste my time exposing these preachers when I need to waste my time really teaching you that you can have eternal life and what you need to do. And I'm sure the Holy Ghost, if you listen enough, it will direct you from a lot of these false prophets. And you start giving that money to them. Go give that money to one of your family members. You know, that's another thing, too. How in the world you got family members in need, and you, oh, I got to take this money and give it to Creflo? You are ignorant.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. See, everybody can't make this stand, but I can.
Because mm-hmm.
I'm telling you the truth. I can give you a whole list of it. And I might do that next week. So stay tuned. I'm just going to give you a list of them.
Amen.
So you'll know. And like I said, if you use that formula as far as how you approach learning the Word of God, and you could use the 4W principles, but if you'll take that list I gave you, you'll see it'll work for you. Anybody else? Before we dismiss, hallelujah. Anybody? If not, thank you so much.